Juliet is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across South East today. This is their story. In Northwest Hampshire, healthcare workers are ready to train, teaching facilities stand equipped, and wards desperately need staff. Yet the system that should connect these elements has broken down at the funding stage. The contradiction between need and capacity reveals how political decisions about spending limits can block essential public services from functioning.
I grew up thinking the NHS was something you could count on. My mother was a head teacher, my father worked in the civil service, and both talked about public service as a calling worth pursuing. After studying biomedical sciences at Southampton, I spent 3 years as a healthcare assistant and saw firsthand how much difference skilled nursing makes to patient outcomes. I wanted to be part of that. My small herb garden on the windowsill taught me patience and care, watching seedlings grow, adjusting water and light, understanding that good things develop with attention. I thought nursing would be similar, careful, methodical work that helps people flourish. In 2022, I applied to the University of Winchester for their nursing degree. I'd done well in my entrance exams, my references were solid, and my experience as a healthcare assistant showed I understood the demands of the job. The admissions team was encouraging. They said the course was excellent, the facilities were modern, and my application was strong. Then came the qualifier. They had no places funded by Health Education England that year. They couldn't say when funding might return. I contacted Health Education England South directly. The administrator I spoke with was sympathetic but clear. The Treasury has capped our training budget despite rising vacancy rates. She explained that workforce planning had become secondary to spending controls. The need for nurses was acknowledged, but the money to train them had been restricted. It sounded reasonable at the time. Budgets are finite. Decisions have to be made. Not everything can be funded. I tried a different route. Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust ran apprenticeship programs that could lead to nursing qualifications. I called their training coordinator, who listened to my background and said I was exactly the kind of candidate they wanted. Then came the same barrier. We cannot take on apprentices without Health Education England funding approval. The process is centralized now. I contacted Frimley Health NHS Foundation Trust next. Their workforce development manager was kind but frank. Treasury spending controls mean we are treating nurse training as a cost to minimize rather than an investment. I know how that sounds, but those are our parameters. She mentioned they'd had to turn down dozens of potential trainees that year. Not because the candidates weren't suitable or the need wasn't there, but because the funding allocation had been set too low. Each conversation followed the same pattern. The people I spoke with recognized the problem, understood the contradictions, but felt constrained by decisions made elsewhere. The phrase I heard repeatedly was, "There is no funding." It became a kind of ritual response, as if saying it often enough would make it make sense. In early 2023, I decided to visit the Winchester campus again. I wanted to see the facilities, to understand what exactly was sitting unused while qualified applicants were being turned away. What I found changed how I understood the whole situation. The teaching block was magnificent. Modern simulation labs with hospital standard equipment still in boxes. Lecture theatres designed for cohorts twice the size they were currently running. Computer suites with nursing software already installed but gathering dust. I met the facilities manager by chance. He was checking on a room that hadn't been used all term. "We had to turn away 40 qualified applicants this year," he told me, "despite having capacity for twice our current cohort. The building exists, the equipment exists, the teaching staff exist, the students who want to learn exist, but we are told there is no funding." That was my turning point. I stood in that empty lab, surrounded by unused equipment that could have trained me and dozens of others, and the excuse stopped making sense. The people existed. I was one of them. The building existed. I was standing in it. The need existed. I'd seen it on every ward where I'd worked. What exactly was it that there was no money for? The UK government issues the pound. When it spends, it creates money and directs resources toward priorities. When it chooses not to spend, it leaves resources idle. The Treasury that told Health Education England to cap training budgets could have chosen differently. The decision to leave teaching capacity unused while wards remained understaffed was not forced by some external shortage of pounds. It was a political choice. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. But the real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the buildings were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I am still here, still watching, still ready to train when the political decisions change. What I understand now that I did not understand at the start is that this is not just my story. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare, knowing full well they control the key to the cupboard and the mint that fills it.
What Juliet experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique presents figures of authority who treat questionable claims as established fact, lending credibility to ideas that might not withstand scrutiny. Consider how tobacco companies once cited doctors who endorsed smoking, or pharmaceutical companies highlight researchers who minimize side effects. The credentials are real, but the conclusions serve specific interests rather than broader truth. In Juliet's case, the fake expertise was economic. Every administrator who said there is no funding was repeating analysis that treats government budgets like household budgets, as though the institution that issues the currency must find money before it spends money. This analogy sounds authoritative because everyone manages household finances, but it fundamentally misunderstands how sovereign currencies work. The objection often raised is that economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. In Juliet's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Northwest Hampshire ranks 440 out of 543 English constituencies on the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 9. The constituency has 4,170 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £19.4 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.